This past week, I heard of an unusual Easter worship service. The pastor stood up and announced, "Next Sunday will be a special Easter service. My sermon subject will be the power of his resurrection." Now, there wasn't anything really unusual about that announcement except that he gave it on Easter Sunday. And some of the people in the crowd kind of chuckled a bit and looked on knowingly because they knew their pastor. He had been known to have the wrong dates in the bulletin or even print the birthdays and anniversaries of the wrong month in the newsletter. But the pastor hadn't made a mistake this time. And this wasn't some gimmick to try to get people to come back to church the next week. It was his way of underscoring the fact that every time we worship together on a Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. The reason why we worship on Sunday is because it was the first day of the week that he rose. And it's in commemoration of that. In fact, that pastor was quoted as saying, "Preachers who celebrate the resurrection once a year are no better than folks who go to church only once a year on Easter." Ouch. Now, interestingly enough, and by the way, that story is not about me. But interesting, I had already planned this message when I came across that story. And the theme of this message, in fact, this message today is launching a series that over the next several weeks we are going to be looking at what it means living in the power of his resurrection. And this article was under the heading Easter Every Sunday. I had already picked the title for this message, Easter Every Day. And the two really came together. Now I can hear some of you thinking, Easter every day? You mean I got to dress up like this every day? I got to prepare a big Easter dinner every day? Think about all the Easter eggs and baskets, and I can't do this. Well, I'm not talking about celebrating Easter every day the way we have become accustomed to doing it. Instead, I want to consider celebrating Easter every day in the way we live. My text this morning, you might be surprised, is not from the end of one of the four Gospels, but actually Paul's letter to the Philippians. I want to focus on two verses. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Paul writes this, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." I'm sure you're all familiar with the Easter story, although maybe I shouldn't presume too much. There's another story about a pastor who approached three teenage girls and asked them, "When is Easter and what happens on that day?" The first one said, "I think Easter is in the fall, and that's when we dress up in costumes and go trick-or-treating." Pastor shook his head and said, "No, that's Halloween." He turned to the second, said, "Well, I think it's in the wintertime, and that's when we decorate trees and give gifts." No, that's Christmas. So he turns to the third one, and the third one says, "No, it happens in the springtime, and it's when Jesus comes out of the grave." And the pastor stopped her, interrupted her, and said to the other two, "Now listen, because this one's got it right." And then asked her to continue, and she said, "And if he sees his shadow, he goes back in the grave, and we have six more weeks of winter." So close, yet so far. I am going to presume, though, that you know the facts, the basics of the Easter story. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Good Friday and Easter celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And most people know that. Most people that go to church are aware of that story and those facts. Unfortunately, that's as far as it goes. Once a year, we pull out our Easter clothes. I notice a number of you ladies have your hats on today. It looks very nice. We color some Easter eggs. We fill our Easter baskets. We sing our Easter hymns. And when it's all over, we put it away for another year. How sad. How sad that something so significant we relegate to one day a year. And when it's over, it's over. I suggest that Easter is not a date to be celebrated, but a dynamic to be cultivated. It should be a part of our lives every day. Many years ago, my dad printed up a sheet, and on the top of it, it said, "My purpose." This was his purpose for life, and it was these two verses out of Philippians, although it was from the Amplified Bible. And it says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power of His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death." That's a mouthful. I'd say it's a life full. That's the purpose of living, to know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection. And that sounds so great, but what does it mean? That's what I'd like to explore this morning and in the weeks to come. What it means to live Easter every day. Let's begin with the original explosion of Easter. Why would you use the word explosion? Well, it actually goes back to the word Paul used when he said, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." That word that is translated into English, power, is a Greek word, dunamis. And it means power, strength, but not in a usual sense of the word. It is something supernatural, something that can't be explained in ordinary terms. It's a word that appears 119 times in the New Testament. Sometimes it is translated miracle, a mighty work of God. In fact, oftentimes it is paired with God, the power of God. Paul uses it quite often in his writings. Now, the English word dynamite comes from this word, dunamis. Back in 1867, Alfred Nobel, you may know that name, he was the founder of the Nobel Peace Prize. He was also the inventor of dynamite. And when he discovered this explosive substance, and he wanted to give it a name, he went to the Swedish word dynamit, which comes from dunamis. So this Greek term that is used in the New Testament many, many times, and particularly in this verse, is the word from which we get dynamite. An explosive power, not just some little firecracker. We're talking about an explosion, an immense amount of power. Now, I'm not suggesting the Greeks knew anything about gunpowder, so we're not talking about it in that sense of the word, but there is something about this power of God that is vast and great. And Paul says that if you want to see the power of God at work, you don't have to look any farther than the empty tomb. In Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, using the same Greek word for power, he says, "That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. If you want to know the incredible nature of God's power, look at Easter. Consider that God took that battered, bruised, bloodied, crucified corpse lying in a tomb for 3 days, raised it to life. That's no ordinary strength. That's the power of God. Resurrection power. That's the kind of power he has. Paul often combined this term for power with the resurrection of Jesus. In Romans 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you catch that? He was declared to be the Son of God with this power by his resurrection from the dead. That's how we know he is the Son of God. You know, there have been many people down through the years that have claimed to be either God's Son or God himself, the way to heaven. What distinguishes them all? They're all dead. Jesus is alive. And we know he's the Son of God because he was raised from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. That same power exercised on that first Easter Sunday, raising Jesus from the dead, is going to raise us as well. That's the power of God. Now, I don't want to overplay this idea of the explosive power of Easter as some kind of, you know, spiritual Rambo that just blows everything up and runs over everybody. But there is one sense in which it has some destructive strength involved. Consider 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 26. Paul says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. And Easter was the beginning of that destruction. When Christ rose from the dead, it broke the power of death. Now, we still experience physical death, but we know it's not the end. We know that one day we too will rise again. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So yes, that Easter Sunday, there was a big explosion in the spiritual realm when it came to sin, Satan, and death. They were all put on notice. Your time is up. And that's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. That power, that dunamis, that raised Jesus from the dead, worked the greatest miracle of history. What happened on that first day of the week so many years ago, that was no ordinary experience. You say, yeah, but I know there were other people in the Bible that were raised from the dead. You know, it happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. Why is this any different? Here's the difference. All those people who were brought back to life in Old and New Testaments, it was their mortal body that came back to life. They had to die all over again. You know, we think it'd be kind of neat to be Lazarus, right? Die, buried, then you're called back to life. Yeah, but you got to die all over again. Who wants to do that twice? But they did. Technically speaking, these were resuscitations. I'm not saying they weren't really dead. I'm saying when they were brought back to life, they were not given eternal life. They were not brought back in their glorified bodies, but Jesus was. When Jesus was resurrected, he was given an eternal body that will never die. And that's what we look forward to as well. Christ's resurrection is a unique phenomenon, differing from those other experiences of people that we read about. This power took Jesus to new life that would never experience death again. You know, we think back to Christmas and what a miracle Christmas was. God Almighty becomes a human form. But I believe Easter is a greater miracle than even that. Early Christians thought that Easter was a greater miracle than creation, a greater demonstration of God's power by bringing Jesus back to life again. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and I don't want to minimize that in any way. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Jesus had to die on the cross in order to pay the price for our sins. But if he had stayed in the tomb, we would have no hope. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Without Easter Sunday, Good Friday would be rather meaningless. And we celebrate his resurrection on this day. But that's not the whole story. Beyond the original explosion of Easter is what I'm calling the ongoing experience of Easter. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is available to all of us today. This is what it means when Paul says, "I want to know the power of his resurrection." Not just know about it, but to experience it. I want that power flowing through me. And that is a possibility. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He didn't say, "I was." He didn't say, "I will be." He said, "I am." And the power that he promises is for right now. How we live every day. It's not just saving power. It's not just a future power when we're raised from the dust. It is power for our lives today. It's experiencing that power in our everyday lives. It's one thing to know about the resurrection. It's another to know that power in our experience. Jesus' resurrection was not just a dramatic miracle, but it is a dynamic power. And by the way, dynamic also comes from that Greek word dunamis. It is a dynamic power that is at work in our lives. It's what Paul talks about in Ephesians 2:5 when he says that God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Spiritually speaking, all those who have come to Christ have already experienced Easter. Because Paul says you were dead spiritually in your transgressions, but God made you alive in Christ. That's the new life that we have. Not just for the future, but for right now. See, the resurrection means that we don't only have a hope for the future, we actually have a hope from the future. Because of what's going to happen, we have hope now. And because of what happened so long ago, we have power to live now. That passage that I had mentioned earlier from Ephesians chapter 1 that talks about that great power, I want to give you the fuller context. Look at verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." There's dunamis. Paul says, my prayer for you, Ephesians, is that you might know this incomparably great power of God. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. See, this isn't just a theological idea of Christ being raised and the power that it took. Paul is saying, I want you to experience that power in your life today. That's what it means to live Easter every day. To live in the power of God. That power by which He will one day destroy all suffering, all evil, all deformity, all death. It's now available. When we unite ourselves with the risen Christ by faith, that future power comes into our life in the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And so we are to live in the light of the resurrection. We are to live in the power of what God has done. And it affects everything in our lives, our relationships. It affects our work. It affects our service. It affects everything. It also affects our vocabulary. Because of Easter, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the power of God that is available to us, it eliminates the word can't from the Christian vocabulary. The Christian has no business saying, I can't do this, when it is something God has called us to do. When He gives us a command, He also gives us the power to do it. Nothing is impossible with God. And so we can say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who what? Gives me strength. That power, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You don't think that's enough power for what you need on a day-to-day basis? That's the power God wants to give to us. But sadly, so much that goes by the name of Christianity today is nothing more than man doing his best. It's just us trying a little harder. Now, we know that we're not saved by trying harder. We're not saved by what we do. We understand Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We are saved, it is by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. We got that down. We know we're saved by grace, but for many of us, we think once we're saved, we're sanctified by our works. God saves us and then says, all right, do your best. And we fall flat on our face. Because we're not using the power that God has given to us. Remember the words of Jesus in John 15, 5, without me you can do nothing. You know who He said that to? His disciples. He says the same to us today. You can try harder all you want, but without me, you're not going to do anything. He gives us the power to live the Christian life. Let me illustrate. That little laptop computer over there, there's two ways to power that computer. It's got a battery. And that gets real handy at times when you have to take it places, and it'll run for a while on battery. But eventually it'll run down and it'll quit working. Or I can plug it in to an ever-producing power source. And it can stay on for hours, days, weeks, because the power consistently flows through it. Too many Christians are living by battery power instead of God's ever-flowing grace. They come to church on Sunday to get spiritually recharged. But about Tuesday afternoon, that power's gone, isn't it? And if you've got to wait until next Sunday to get recharged, you're in trouble, folks. How much better it is to be plugged in to that permanent power source. We never run low on energy because there's a connectedness between us and the power source, and it becomes a way of life. I know that's not a perfect analogy, but I hope you get the idea. If we're trying on our own, we can accomplish some things, but in the end, it's not going to be much. And we're eventually going to run out of gas. But God says, I have my Holy Spirit living inside you, and He is a constant source of power. You rely on Him, and there is nothing you can't accomplish in my name. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But how many of us are ignoring the power of God that is right there available to us? It's like the guy that calls up the tech support. My computer doesn't work. What's the first thing tech support says? Is it plugged in? Yeah, sometimes it's just that simple. And it's that simple in our lives as well. According to Paul, that incomparably great power that raised Jesus from the dead on that first Easter Sunday is a power at work in us to accomplish what we can't do ourselves, to do what only God can do, to make us more like Christ. And that's why we can celebrate Easter every day. No, not Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and clothes and dinners. Not talking about that. Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the single most powerful act in history. The power of God conquered death, raising a dead corpse to eternal life. Because of Easter, we too can conquer death if we put our trust in Him who rose from the dead. But that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of our new life. Christianity isn't merely life after death, it's life now, today. It is, in the words of the Bible, living in the power of His resurrection. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at specific applications to what that means. But I urge you, if you haven't taken that first step, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, do so today. You can be raised from the dead, triumph over death, and begin a new life. And you can celebrate Easter every day.